Todd Andrew Farley and Diana Pulliam coming together once again on our Podomatic podcast as we see the day approaching. We're gathering today for a discussion that has developed and the leading of the Spirit of the Lord due to some pretty interesting and amazing things that have occurred in the last week or in between the last two episodes. So we're going to get more into that briefly. I'm going to pray, and then Sister Diana is going to introduce you more to what we're going to talk about and share today. So Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to gather. Diana and I both thank you. We enter your gates with praise and thanksgiving, praise to the name above all names, the one name who every knee will bow to in the very near future up ahead. We thank you, King of Glory, for your faithfulness, for your precious blood, for this opportunity to share with our brethren, to strengthen each other and sharpen each other's iron. And we don't take that honor and privilege for granted. We appreciate every somewhat semi-normal day that we have these days, because we know the gross darkness is increasing. But we and all of our brothers and sisters who we know that you will draw to this broadcast or our subsequent or past podcasts are wired the same way. We need equipping. We need to stay sharp. We need to be prepared. We need oil in our lamps, many things that we've discussed. And only you are the faithful author and finisher who can help us get there. I plead the blood over the rest of this meeting, this fellowship, this recording, all technologies involved. We thank you for the heavenly host protecting us from problems in the airwaves or anything else. And we ask that you guide and guard our lips and that you speak through us and not us in our flesh. We also ask that you give our brothers and sisters eyes to see or ears to hear. And we thank you for each and every one of them. And many of them have been so supportive in their encouragement since we're still in our humble beginning of what you've led us to do here. So have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, I say amen. Okay, Sister Diana, amen. Why don't you take it from here for a minute?
Thank you, Andrew. And yes, that's a big amen. Like Andrew was saying, we feel led right now to share just a few happenings that the Lord just kind of removed a veil. Now, it's just some intense things that happened here recently, and then we're going to follow up and share some of the things he's saying to us about that to those our brothers and sisters. But it was a couple weeks ago on the podcast we had Ozzie Watchman, okay, as a special guest, and let's say that was titled "Remnant Bride versus Bride of Satan." But anyway, he gave his personal testimony, you know, about what God's given him as an assignment against a town, his assignment regarding a town that is totally, or was at least, dominated and oppressed by a coven of witches. And but in that, of course, if you want to go back and listen to that, he shares what he experienced as that came against him. But towards the end of this particular message, this podcast, he shared a powerful warfare prayer, you know. And the next morning after this podcast, okay, I got up and I had a prayer group member that had left me a very detailed voice message, you know, of what happened to her the night before, you know, as she was listening to that podcast. And she said that, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase what she said. She said that there was a storm brewing outside. She goes, Diana, there was a really dark storm brewing outside. And as Ozzie's amazing warfare prayer was being played, well, she said that this woman that had she had had checks in the spirit about previously, like, you know, that she will seem like some wickedness going on there. But she had had checks about in the spirit. So this woman just so happened to come cruising down her street. And she stopped abruptly. She stopped her car abruptly in front of her friend's house, and she began turning her head like back and forth, side to side, trying to discern where that prayer was coming from in the spirit, you know, where it was coming from. So the friend immediately knew that she had discerned correctly about that spirit, the spirits behind this woman, that, you know, she was a witch, you know, let's just call it what it is. But I listened to that. And then that same morning, just a few minutes later, another prayer group member contacted me about, it was a hooded spirit entity that had entered the bedroom of one of her family members. Now, it wasn't in her house. I think it was the house of her cousin and his wife. Well, that wife heard the door open, the door to their bedroom open, and in walked at first she thought it was maybe their daughter that had gotten out of the shower and had a towel over her head or something, but it wasn't. But this entity walked in and stood at the other side of the bed where her husband was and just stood there. And then the wife said something and it just walked out. It turned, walked out, shut the door. Now, these are believing saints. This, our prayer group friend, most of her family are very dedicated saints of God. And now, so I relate a few things to someone else on their group, and she said, "Oh, Diane, I just feel like you need to share this, blah, blah, blah," about the, and so I laid the phone down, and I was shown that the storm is descending, okay, upon the earth, and that the saints need to understand this and get ready. So I walked over, I picked the phone up, and I dialed in to do a voice message to our group. So I was recording, I did the recording to the prayer partners to relay this. And as I began to speak and talk about what the Lord was showing about this storm brewing and so forth, descending upon the earth, guys, he confirmed it with a lightning strike and with thunder. And now Andrew, I've asked Andrew if he would just play that. I think it's like a minute, just a little over a minute long, so that you can get what happened. And that, and then we'll all continue. Andrew, would you play that?
Yes, I will. And it's actually 3 minutes and 17 seconds. At the very beginning, you missed Diana's first word or two, but I'll never forget when I saw this and hit play. But here we go. We'll do it now, and it should come through well, hopefully. Well, maybe. I'm going to refresh my screen because for some reason. Okay, here we go.
Say what is being communicated to me in the spirit, and but what happened was this morning, and it's still going on, really dark clouds, heavy thunder, lightning. Whoa! Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. It just, oh my gosh, oh Lord God Almighty, it just hit something in the back. Oh my God, this is confirmation. I saw it with my own eyes. A lightning struck right in back of my door, down and exploded. You may have heard it, but this is confirmation. I was telling Warwick about the storms and stuff this morning that praise God. That's all I can do right now. Praise his holy name. This is confirmation. Okay. Sorry. It happened right as I was getting on. Okay. I was telling him about the storms and stuff like this. Well, Kelly had me forward that message that she had while she was playing that amazing warfare prayer that he had prayed. And when the what we know probably is a witch stopped in the street to find out where in the spirit this was coming from. Well, anyway, remember she was having dark clouds come in. I can't remember now all of it, but dark clouds coming and like a big storm was brewing. Okay, now I've got it this morning. Well, anyway, Warwick said this morning, he said, Diana, I got in the Holy Spirit that's the storm that's brewing over America right now. He said it's getting ready to descend. And so when he said that, my whole body lit up like I was hit with an electrical current. And every hair on my body stood up. And that was confirmation that telling me it's true. So our response, we fear not. We stay girded up. We get our armor, make sure it's secure every day before we even get out of bed. Okay, so let's hold one another up. Become aggressive, if you will, aggressive in our stance and with our sword out, like talks about when they were building the wall. They had their say their tools in one hand, their hammer, their all of that, and then their sword in the other hand. So we go about our business, but we stay girded up. Praise God. It is descending.
Okay, Diana. You're muted. Diana, you're muted. Okay. Well, until she's able to unmute.
I got it. I'm sorry. Forgive me there. I got my mute. But thank you for playing that, Andrew, because it was a huge confirmation, okay, about what's descending right now, you know, saints. Now, before we go further, Andrew, you also had something about a storm.
Yes. I just, even as I listened to that again a minute ago, I'm sorry for the delay. It was like the page was stuck, so I had to refresh it. But man, I didn't catch it the last time or two until literally you said the word lightning and boom, right on cue. I mean, literally you said the word lightning and then the strike came. And only God could orchestrate that. But yes. The thing I'm going to throw in at this point, in my walk, since I was flipped upside down beginning in 2012, I've told friends and family, you know, God has done a lot. I'm very grateful to hear his still small voice. When it comes to visions, I haven't had very many at all, and I don't get very many dreams. I've had 4 or 5 pretty powerful God dreams, but really only one vision. But this was the vision. And I tried thinking about when was this. It's probably 8 years ago, 7, 8 years ago. And it was like one minute everything was normal. And the next second, it was like I was in this place. And where I found myself was on a track, like for track and field. Except it was a totally different scenery behind me. And I looked because I had my left arm back and I'm in a lane on this track and field track. Way back in junior high and early parts of high school, I used to be pretty quick and I was a sprinter. And so I did some of the regular sprinting races plus the relays. And oftentimes I was the fourth man on the relays or the last leg of the race. So my arm is back. I'm on this track. I'm like, whoa, where am I? And then I turn around and look. And it's like, it really felt like Colorado kind of scenery. and mountain ranges behind me in the distance. They were absolutely stunning and beautiful, except up in the sky, there were purple, blue, dark blue, purple, and black clouds that were moving over this mountain range, which seemed to be about maybe 10 or 20 miles from this track that I suddenly found myself on. Well, meanwhile, I've got my arms still back trying to figure out what is going on. And then all knowing though that somebody's going to come and I got to take the baton and take off. And I hear the storm is coming. This is the last leg of the race. Keep your eyes focused on me. Do not look to the left or the right. And then it ended. And it was the voice of the King of Glory. And the next thing you know, it was over. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And what happened earlier this week when after this lightning strike and Diana and I were talking, I shared that with her. And then she had something to share with me. And even though we've known each other for quite a while and we never realized that we both had something similar in this regard. So why don't you share what you have for that, Diana?
Okay. Yeah. And actually, let's see, this was way back when this happened back in 2013, this first part that I want to share, but it was just sometime, two or three years after God had said, write what I show you. And then it was a little while after that, before he actually started showing me dreams and visions, you know, these last days. But I'd kind of gotten out of sorts with God because of the storms, I'm going to say plural, storms that had come upon my life at that time. In 2013, and I felt I didn't even have peace to write. I was being boom, boom, boom from all directions, you know. And I told God, in essence, I said, Lord, if you want me to write, then you're going to have to help me at least have the peace to do it. So I just put that aside. I quit writing for a little while, you know, and I began running on a treadmill and, you know, like doing little short 5Ks and stuff like that. Basically, it's like I wanted to kind of have a diversion, relieve some of the stress that I was going through. But God allowed it. God allowed it. And then one morning, it was several months later, I was on the treadmill, just running and singing, and I was praising God for all his wonders, you know. And then all of a sudden, the wall in front of me, which was a big white wall in front of me, the full hit me that I became overwhelmed at the moment by the goodness of the Lord. And then that wall lit up like a television screen. Okay. And I saw a racetrack and I was running on it, you know, and straight ahead up in the distance, there was a bright light, and it grew larger and it grew bigger and brighter as I ran towards it. And now I was no longer just watching myself on that track, but it's like he translated me onto that track in real time. It was like I was running real time on the track, and there were even bleachers lining both sides. People, I could see them, but then all of a sudden there were things like rocks, large rocks and boulders that they were coming out of the sky. It's like they were coming from up above out of the sky, out of nowhere. And they were being hurled towards me onto the track, you know, directly in front of me. So just as I was beginning to slow down, I started slowing down, you know, I felt like I was going to get hit and focusing on those rocks, right? I heard the Lord say, look straight ahead and keep your eyes fixed on me. Don't look to the right or to the left. And then as I obeyed that, I started looking straight ahead into the light. It got brighter again and get bright. And I began running faster and faster. And then I was running full speed now. And at this time with all my might. And in my peripheral vision, I could see most of the objects. They kept coming, but all of a sudden they began to disappear, a lot of them, before they even hit the track. And then those that didn't, they fell in front of me. I scooped up my arms. Scooped them up in my arms. And I lifted them up to God without even breaking my stride. It was like one fluid motion. And they disappeared as he took them from me. Nothing could stop me now as I was running, and I was focused straight ahead and ran full speed towards the light, and it grew bigger and brighter. And that was the end of that vision. And as I got off the treadmill, it's like, whoa, what in the world? I was in awe of what God had just shown me. Basically, I'm going to sum it up. He just said, our job is to run the race, you know, that he set before us, the path that's already been prepared and laid out by God. But once you enter the race, the evil one is going to throw all kinds of obstacles and distractions your way in an attempt to derail God's plan for you, like I had kind of allowed him to derail me for a while. And if he can't touch you, he'll mess in the lives of everyone around you. That's what he was doing in our family and in me and all kinds of stuff. He'll brew up every storm imaginable to come up and start swirling around you to get you off, you know, get your eyes off God and what he's called you to do, off of the assignment the Lord's given you, like he's trying to do right now, right? To all of us this very minute. So basically the Lord was saying, stop looking at the storm, look at me. And I'll take care of all this other stuff, right? So that was the message that he gave me. Don't look at the storm. Keep your eyes straight ahead on me. And then it was just, it was just maybe 4 or 5 years later. I want to say about 2016-17. I don't have that article in front of me on the website, but it's, anyway, God gave me another glimpse of that vision, that same vision, finish your race. And what happened, I'd been praying and I was sitting quietly in his presence when suddenly there I was running on the racetrack again. That he brought that right before me like an open vision. And as I approached the light, I felt stronger and stronger and I began running faster. And then just right then at that moment, I heard the Lord say, you're running the last leg of the race. The vision was for today. So, wow. Wow. I want to turn the mic for a minute back to you, Andrew, because you have some other things I want the listeners to hear, you know, some of the things that we were just touching on before, a little earlier.
Thank you. Yeah, that's amazing. So, we didn't know each other back then, and very, very similar messages that we both know are for now. And it even, as I was listening to you share that, it reminded me also, because we had a fellowship meeting or prayer meeting once, and one of our siblings, Ginger, if I recall, also had a similar vision, and she shared that at the time, and I immediately thought of what we both just shared, and we didn't get into that full discussion, but she's a third witness. Hers was pretty much in essence the exact same thing. So God is definitely speaking right now, and the thing I'm going to share next is something that I never thought I would ever share in any kind of public way, because, and there's a handful or more, give or take, of things like that we all may have, things between us and God, or things that occurred that are unexplainable or may even sound crazy. So that's my disclaimer. I'm getting ready to share one that I never thought I'd share in a public sense. But the reason that I'm led to is because of what you heard on that audio with that lightning strike and everything we've shared so far, part of the discussion at some point earlier in this week when all this was going on was, you know, we do know what the enemy's up to, those who are awake, the Luciferian system, the Great Reset, Agenda 2021, 22, 30, whatever it is. They're trying to bring a lot of things together now. They're coming against our food supply. World War III is probably already started technically in Europe. We're all waiting for a bigger spark in another place. Hopefully not for a while yet, but we know it's coming. We know that Bible prophecy is unfolding. And yes, but it came up that the enemy is bringing the storms and they're going to increase against God's people. But when I heard that lightning bolt, it reminded me of one of the craziest things that ever happened to me. And I'll make it quick at this point. I was in Minnesota. I was in the ministry for 3 or 4 years there with my wonderful spiritual family at a small remnant church, working and leading, co-leading and leading then a healing and compassion center, healing and deliverance, and just at home, pretty plumb line with the Lord at that time. And I'll never forget that season of my life. It was so wonderful. And everything was normal, as far as I recall, including this particular night that I went to bed. And the next thing I know, at 4 a.m, I woke up wide awake. And I know it was 4 o'clock because my little nightstand was a couple feet from me to the left. I was on my left side, staring at the glow of it, wondering why on earth am I awake? And I thought about it for a second. You know, sometimes we wake up and the Spirit of the Lord wants us to pray, or he might place something on our heart. I was like, is this you? You know, why am I wide awake all of a sudden? And the next thing I know, it sounds wacky, but I'm telling you, and I'm raising my right hand right now with the Father in heaven, the King of glory, and the Spirit of the Lord as my witness, this occurred. I heard and felt, basically out of nowhere, a huge lightning bolt came through the top of this property, through the unit above me, into my bedroom, and slammed into my body. And after this thing hit me out of nowhere, I literally, as it struck me, I was paralyzed. I wasn't, as I'm processing all of this in a microsecond, I wasn't terrified, but I was just in shock. I couldn't breathe or move, but I wasn't lacking or hurting for air or panic. But I'll never forget it, because after it hit me, a split second later, it was just like that lightning bolt you heard with Diana that was outside her window. And there was a big concussion and boom. And I had change on the side of my bed on that nightstand. And I'll never forget when that concussion hit, all of that change, while I was paralyzed for a second, bounced around all over the place and the whole room shook. And I'm waiting. And after about, I don't know, eight or nine seconds, maybe, you know, all of a sudden I could move, I could breathe, whatever had just nailed me. I survived it. And I'm immediately thinking, how on earth did that happen? And that, oh my gosh, my neighbors and the landlord, they're going to come to my door pounding on it, seeing if I'm okay, or we're all going to have to figure out how did this just happen. And of course, I learned quickly, no one else, and this was a double, like a duplex kind of property, nobody felt or heard anything except me. Honestly, I was, you know, in the warfare back then, doing some pretty intense deliverance every once in a while. The enemy didn't like me. He knows who I am in the Lord. And so I thought for a while that it was the adversary tried something. And I didn't realize, though, and I was seeking the Father in prayer, you know, off and on once in a while, what was that all about, you know? And eventually, like roughly 5 or 6 weeks later, out of nowhere one day, and I don't even remember how it happened, but it just, this particular article/word was found its way in front of my eyes. And I knew it was God, and I started reading it. And it was to a website I'd never seen before. And it's an article from July 15th of 2013 called The Lightnings of God, written by a man named Paul L. Cox. The website is a place, I'm not promoting site, but just to give credit for the article, it's at Aslan's Place. But I'm not going to read the whole article, but I'm going to read a few key highlights that God spoke to me through. And one of them is a word that Paul referenced by Chuck Pierce from September of 2013, where God said through this man of God, "I am sending my lightnings. I have been waiting to fill my children's mouths with the voice of heaven. I am sending forth my messengers of lightning this hour. I have a people that will become lightning rods. They will then become storms in the earth. You will create storms and you will storm atmospheres of darkness in days ahead. I am separating the Esau's and Jacob's in your region, that which has warred in your midst as Esau against my Jacob's will now change. Lightning is falling on the Jacob's of this hour. Get ready. You have been activated into the season called lightning. You have been commissioned to go forth and break open and demonstrate my plan in the season ahead." And then he goes on, and there's actually a really cool prophetic poem that he found. I should probably share it, but I'll skip that. And I'm going to go to the end of this article where this guy had a particular encounter and was trying to process it. And that's how this article came to be. Well, the last piece of the puzzle that he learned about was a word from John G. Lake back in the 1920s on this same subject. And it's very brief. "I can see as my spirit discerns the future and reaches out to touch the heart of mankind and the desire of God that there is coming from heaven a new manifestation of the Holy Spirit in power. And that new manifestation will be in sweetness, in love, in tenderness, and in the power of the Spirit beyond anything your heart or mind ever saw. The very lightning of God will flash through men's souls. The sons of God will meet the sons of darkness and prevail." And when he put those in front of me, I probably wept. And at this, and I did not share this to make anything about me, but I think now, all these years later, the Spirit of the Lord wanted me to share it with Diana, and then we got into some of this discussion, because God did speak through these men way back about this storm right now. And that's why it came to my remembrance when I heard about the storms of the enemy. I heard that lightning strike. Of course, I remembered this experience, and I remember what God said about it. And so that's why I shared it, to encourage. And I don't think it means that every single one of us has to get hit in bed at 4 a.m. by something they don't see coming. But maybe he allowed that to happen to me, knowing I would share it today to encourage his people. Because Acts 2.0 is going to operate in what John G. Lake just spoke about. Power is going to come in sweetness, love, tenderness, and the power of the Spirit, again, beyond anything your heart or mind ever saw. So God has a storm in the midst of the darkness. Amen. Go ahead, Diana.
Amen. I love it. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you have brought that up, and I think that's a huge encouragement to everyone. But like we explained, both of us have said we felt prompted to share some of the things that we and and others, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ are going through right now, you know, and as this storm that the Lord's allowing to come down, as this storm descends, like he said, it's descending. So as you know, so to know that you or me or Andrew or any of us, we're not imagining these things, you know, and we're not alone. We're not alone in this. Just know, because we could go further and further, and we're going to probably go into some of these things, but spiritual gaslighting and gang stalking is going on, you know, in the spirit realm by the enemy. And the Lord wants us to know what's happening, you know, and what our stance is supposed to be in this hour. And what an encouragement, you know, that he gives us in his word and through the experiences of various saints that in the body of Christ, you know, all through scripture and the ones that were like Andrew was sharing. But God wants to encourage his people, and he's telling us to put on the whole armor of God. That's another thing that we've really, and we shared this and prayed about this, and various ones in our prayer group today were speaking about this. We're all very familiar with Ephesians 6, right? You know, describing the armor and the various pieces. But let me just read a couple verses here. We're told in Ephesians 6, verse 10. I'm going to read 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And we're in that, aren't we? So that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So I just want to say this. The armor of God is very real. Okay, we're commanded to put it on. That's not a mere request from Paul, but speaking via the Holy Spirit, but a strong command. It's a strong command that we're given. We're in a spiritual war by virtue of being born again into Jesus Christ. And Satan hates Jesus in you and me. He's going to relentlessly attack. It's just ongoing, and the Lord allows it. We know that everything the enemy intends for our harm, God will use it to those that love him and do those things pleasing in his sight. But Romans, here's another key thing here. Romans 13, 12 says, let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. So right here, it's also called an armor of light. You know, it might not be seen with our physical eyes, but the powers and the principalities, you know, the demons and such, other spirits, they see it. The witches see it. That it's the spirits that are working in them. They see it. If you don't, you know, if you don't put it on, and if you don't know how to use it, and I'm, you know, holding up our hands because none of us know all we need to know about this, but if we don't know how to use the armor of God, we're a setting duck. Now, some of these things my friend Ozzy has said, you know, just reminders, and it's so true. No warrior goes into battle without his armor. So that's just something, and please just study, take this before the Lord, all that it's been shared here. And as led by the Spirit, I believe there's probably going to be more on this topic to follow, including real situations and experiences of various saints, you know, what they're going through, gone through, to further help and edify each other. And so I'm just so excited about, I know the people that we pray with and so forth. Amazingly excited about what the Lord's showing, you know, his people in this hour. So Andrew, I feel personally this is a good stopping point for me, but do you have anything more that you'd like to share, or maybe you want to close us in prayer?
I have one last thing. This is something I'm going to read. It's probably the first, top two for me personally as someone who has scribed operating by the gift of the Holy Spirit in the spirit of prophecy, not calling myself a prophet. I ended up, and the reason this came to remembrance in mind, even as we've shared all of this and with the lightning strike, the wild testimony I just shared a little bit ago, I read the very end of this word when Diana and I were together on episode 2, I believe, regarding the bride. And it's because at the end of this word from the Lord was encouragement for all of us in the intensity of the storms and the promise and all of that. And but what I didn't realize, even when I read it again for the first time myself in quite a while on that episode, in the next to the last sentence or the paragraph before the last sentence, God spoke about lightning in the words that went through my pen. But I'm going to read the whole word this time. And this is the word called seven woes. And I think it's still, even it was 2000, no, well, almost 2 years ago. And 2 years ago in August. But this word is also just like the storm for right now. And the part that I didn't read the first time, I'm going to get right to it. I think it speaks to the storm that God is going to bring on the systems of this world and Satan, the adversary. And it all lines up with his word. But I'll put a little emphasis at the very end when he brings up lightning again. Okay. I am doing a new thing. I declare to you a mighty move upon the earth. For behold, my word is alive, and I send it ahead of my son, who comes to claim his rightful position. He who brings the iron rod in his right hand against the corrupt and prideful Chaldean systems that sought to usurp my plan and his authority to enforce it. Controversy covers the land, as does the spirit of confusion. Woe to those who dance with the harlot, knitted together with her in whoredom. Thus your captivity is the snare of iniquity. I am against you. Who will break the bands of bondage of those who perish for their lack of knowledge, and those who have rejected the great gift that was made or offered to all? He who sits on the throne over all my creation, who sees all things, for the earth is my footstool. I also see the intent of every heart, the many bitter seeds of tares sown by the prince of darkness. Behold, the harvest is ripe. Sudden will be the fall of vain imaginations. Woe to the storehouses of those false shepherds who have scattered my flock, for the season of my recompense to Babylon is at hand. Woe to those who are self-appointed and who decree their soulish mixture, tickling the ears of my sheep, while at the same time denying the purity and power of my living word. Woe to those who do not seek the meat of my word. I am the living bread. Without my instructions embedded on the tablet of your heart, when the famine of the word comes to your land, you will eat the bread of sorrows, unless you testify of me and overcome. Repent and seek me now, for the clock is past midnight. Woe to the false prophets who operate in the dark witness of corrupted dreams, who say they speak for me in earthly prosperity, but you were never sent, let alone chosen. For it was you who chose the mystery of iniquity as your guide and teacher. I will no longer allow you to blind my sheep or keep them in complacency, as your own blindness and your pride would lead them through another gate. It is for you I send my strongest delusions, even as I will once and for all silence your lips from perverting my word. Woe to those who choose friendship with the world over intimacy with me. Soon my fire of justice falls upon the heads and rebellious houses of those who have rejected my priceless gift and the promise of true and eternal inheritance. Repent now today with all of your heart, and I will extend my mercy, grace, and the power of my love to liberate you from the chains of the rebellion. Sup with me at my Father's table in eternity. Reject this call I'm placing on your heart, and despair and outer darkness will be your portion at best. Woe to the rebellious and double-minded architects who build and stack the bricks of iniquity, the stones of their altars placed and hidden behind the doorpost and even the walls. I see your abominations, and you will account for every drop of the blood of the innocents. I decree and confirm your desolation, for your high places will be burned to ash and blown away by the whirlwinds I send to consume all sons of the transgressor, and your final portion will be with him in the lake of fire. To my people, I have seen your tears, and you know they are saved by me in a bottle. I will wipe them away, and you will remember them no more. To my bride who stands in the gap, I will answer those prayers that you have not yet seen answered. Those gates and bars keeping the last of my prodigal sons and daughters in confusion, soon they will fall, and the living waters of refreshing and the power of the blood and my mercy will establish them also as trees of righteousness enduring for eternity. For behold, I will draw them to myself, even as I use some of them in the time that my people will learn righteousness. I left the 99 to come and get you. I will not abandon them. For does not my word say my sheep will hear my voice? Trust me and praise me even now in joy and perfect peace as the seed of this promise springs forth. Many of my own will soon be home. The sting of death will not harm one of those who I fearfully and wonderfully made, for the death of a saint is precious in my eyes. We will celebrate soon together at the marriage supper of the Lamb, for it is prepared, and a cloud of witnesses is watching those who in my name do glorify it upon the earth above all others. To those who wield the two-edged swords in your hand, who sing high praises that reach my ears and minister unto me, use your authority, bind their kings and nobles with iron chains and shackle them in the realm of my spirit as I have commanded you. Now is the time to exercise upon them my judgments as written, for this is the honor I have bestowed upon and promised you, my saints. Behold, my lightning goes forth, and my voice will be heard through the sons of thunder. Rise up, army of God, and listen carefully for the fullness of instruction, for I will speak direction to each of you. Listen to my words and walk boldly in obedience and without any fear. Trust me in you, for I am increasing in those surrendered vessels of honor who I have raised up for a time such as this. Gross darkness is but a moment. Rejoice with excitement, for my victory and reconciliation is at hand. And I think that word speaks for itself. I'm going to read one more thing and then we're done. Psalm 97. This is the God who is the storm. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to share your encouragement and your living word in the last leg of the race. We ask you to encourage and strengthen your people, including us, in fellowship, unity, love, and your power in our weakness. We thank you for the precious blood. We thank you for your plan that you have ordained and spoken about in your living word that is literally unfolding in our lives and before our eyes. And perhaps, just as you said to and in the book of Esther, perhaps we were made for a time such as this. Help us be available vessels for your honor and glory alone. And I pray the precious blood over every saint that hears this message. And I ask you to meet them at their point of need and to answer the desires of their heart. We praise, honor, and glorify the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.